Welcome to Locus Focus. I'm Barbara Bernstein, your host for this weekly conversation about our place on the planet. Last week, over 1,000 people from across the Pacific Northwest attended a public hearing in Longview, Washington, to comment on the draft Supplemental Environmental Impact Statement for the world's largest methanol refinery proposed for the port of Calama. Project supporters wearing white scarves sat at the periphery of a sea of red shirts worn by the project's opponents. 64 people testified against building the methanol refinery, while 27 testified in support. About half of the supporters were local elected officials. Most of the other supporters represented unions for the building trades, who see this refinery as an opportunity for much-needed jobs. Opponents, on the other hand, raise a myriad of environmental, health, economic, and social reasons for not building the refinery. Today, we'll listen to excerpts from this hearing, presenting testimony from opponents and proponents of Northwest Innovation Works' proposed methanol refinery in Calama.
Welcome to the Draft Supplemental Environmental Impact Statement, or DSEIS, public hearing for the Calama Manufacturing and Marine Export Facility. This public hearing is part of the State Environmental Policy Act, or SEPA, and is being hosted by the Port of Calama and Cowlitz County, co-lead agencies for the project. I'd like to thank you for attending this hearing, taking an interest in the project, and for being part of an important public comment process.
I'm not a scientist. I'm just a mother and grandmother who's very concerned about the future of my children and grandchildren. The 2018 Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, written by 91 scientists and in 40 countries, paints a dire picture of the consequences of climate change and warns that if we do not make drastic changes now, by 2040, we will have a world in crisis with worsening food shortages, wildfires, drought, and floods. In 2040, my grandchildren will only be 26 and 27. This is not the world I want to leave them. The Calama methanol refinery would contribute to climate disaster and lead us in the opposite direction of where we need to go. Fracked gas is not a clean replacement for oil and coal. It is just another polluting fossil fuel. The SEIS downplayed the full climate impact of this project, underestimating the amount of methane released as it is extracted, transported, treated, and stored. We cannot afford to lock in this kind of dirty fossil fuel infrastructure for the next 40 years. We don't have the time. I call upon you, Governor Inslee, and the Washington State Department of Ecology to examine this DSEIS and oppose this project.
Thanks. I'm Representative Jim Walsh, State Representative from District 19, Position 1. My district goes out along the river to the coast and then up the coast a bit to Aberdeen. I am strongly in favor of this project and the jobs and the economic opportunity that it will present. I'm in favor of the good science that supports it, that shows that there will be a net beneficial effect to overall carbon levels globally. We talk a lot about jobs and the need for jobs in this area, and that's a true need. But there are specific programs that this project will support and enable and develop that are critically important. And one of those really is key. The pre-apprentice program that we are developing together with the building trades here and school districts that will channel young people at the high school level into a pre-apprentice training program that will show them a path to a good life. We talk about family wage jobs all the time, but that becomes kind of abstract in many cases. The pre-apprentice program isn't abstract. It's very practical and direct, and it shows a young person how they can live a good and productive life working the trades, and this project and projects like it will allow that pre-apprentice program through the high schools to thrive. And it'll allow young people to see a way to stay here, to not have to leave this area in order to find gainful employment and a fulfilling career. This is what we want here. We want to develop local talent. We want to develop the local tax base so that our local governments can be independent and thriving entities. This project will help all of that come together, and I encourage you to consider that.
My name is Nadia Maiman. I am profoundly concerned about the pollution from the plant and the fracked gas it will use in tremendous quantities. the SEIS fails to address accurately how much pollution this refinery will cause and how serious this pollution impact will be. The Kalama Methanol Refinery will be one of the largest polluters in Washington by any math. I am just as concerned about who is paying for this, taxpayers and local landowners. First, I think it's appalling that people are facing eminent domain for a pipeline to send fracked gas to China in the form of methanol. This is immoral and seems to violate the common sense idea of what is public benefit. In the end, our neighbors will be subsidizing this project with their land. We will also pay for it. The developer has asked for a $2 billion loan guarantee. This means we may foot the bill for this entire monstrosity when it fails. In addition to the possible $2 billion loan guarantee, NWIW is seeking hundreds of millions of dollars in grants, loans, and tax breaks. For example, the Port of Kalama has asked the federal government and Washington State for a total of $23 million in grants to build a dock and a road for the refinery, as well as a $15 million loan to drill a well. And we will subsidize this project with our health. People will breathe the pollution from this refinery, and they will pay the cost with their health care bills, not the Chinese government. We shouldn't be subsidizing the Chinese government's gambit in Kalama. And we shouldn't trust the developer to produce a clear-eyed analysis of the impacts of this proposal. I urge Governor Inslee and the Department of Ecology, along with the port of the county, to step up and deny this project.
Hello, Sally Keeley, 20-year resident of Kalama, a mother, and a professor of mathematics. Northwest Innovation Works and fossil fuel lobbyists, Life Cycle Associates, are taking us for fools. No reasonable person can think that building a massive methane-guzzling refinery would be good for the environment. Northwest Innovation Works has lied to us from the beginning, and not just to we the people. They lied in a presentation to the Northwest Gas Association in June 2016, stating, quote, methanol has a long safety record on the Columbia River. Northwest Innovation Works lied when they assured that the methanol produced would be used to make plastics. Section 4.3 of the DSEIS states, quote, NWIW intends to ship all of the Kalama methanol to China for MTO production. But there's absolutely no assurance the Chinese government will use the methanol to make plastics. In fact, the opposite. Chairman of NWIW's parent company in China stated that the refinery's output could replace diesel, coal, and gas with methanol to power vehicles. Even the DSEIS admits China is a global leader in methanol fuel. The probable use of the methanol produced in Kalama would be as a fuel source. The SEIS should properly account for those GHG emissions so that we know the exact amount of climate pollution to expect. The DSEIS claims to reduce global GHG emissions by asserting North American gas would replace Chinese coal, but offers no evidence. In fact, NWIW President V. Godley said, quote, he doesn't know if any coal-based methanol plants would actually shut down as a result of his projects. There's no way NWIW can guarantee what happens once it has been sold to a foreign country. Don't let NWIW spin their lies anymore. If allowed to build this, refinery would become Washington's top polluter by 2025.
Your time is up. Northwest Innovation Works uses greenwashing to the nth degree when they claim to, quote, want more environmental stewardship. Their use of methane to produce plastic only adds to greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. Emitting methane in any amount is no way to get to a reduction in emissions or a clean energy future. Fracked gas to methanol leaks methane, and the only question is how much. The company has grossly underestimated the leakage rate of methane at 0.32%. While multiple comprehensive studies have found leakage rates from 1.1% up to 9%, the company claims a leakage rate of 0.32, just one-third of the lowest credible leakage rate measured before this ridiculous claim was made by the company. Their leakage claim is based on cherry-picked studies that fracking companies self-report, and it obviously is to their advantage to underestimate leakage. We have serious climate issues to solve, and using language to cover up adding more greenhouse gas emissions into the atmosphere solves nothing. Facts matter. emitting methane in any amount is not an adequate response to our very serious climate crisis.
Good evening. I'm Linda Garcia. I'm from Vancouver, Washington. My community just fought for 5 long years to stop the largest oil terminal in North America from being built there. This isn't my first climate rodeo, and sadly, most likely will not be my last. I am deeply concerned that the proposed methanol refinery targets the town of Kalama with additional pollution burdens when it already struggles with its unfortunate location near the freeway, high unemployment and poverty, higher than average cancer rates, and coal and oil trains that already come through. The inevitable increase in pollution associated with locating the world's largest frac gas to methanol refinery is an unacceptably heavy load to place on this town. The Port of Kalama and Cowlitz County are deliberately downplaying the harmful impacts while at the same time using unproven assumptions to justify their support for a refinery that betrays their constituents. Once again, profits for a foreign company are being put over the health, safety, and well-being of all residents, all for short-term gains for just a few. They put this foreign company first and their own people last. The oil industry tried to tell us in Vancouver that oil spills were good for fish and wildlife. The gas industry is trying to tell you that the world's largest methanol refinery is good for our climate. We see right through this. From Clark County to Cowlitz County, we're standing together for healthy communities and a healthy climate. Cowlitz County, we have your backs. You can lean on us. The Port of Kalama and Cowlitz County must do better. Governor Inslee and the Department of Ecology must say no to this refinery, and I certainly hope that you're prepared to hear out past 9 p.m. the 1,000-plus people that are standing behind me waiting to have their voices heard. Thank you.
My name is Bill Spencer. I am the commissioner for the Cowlitz County Cemetery District 6. Our district covers the Rose Valley and Mount Pleasant cemeteries. This is where the pipeline will be running by. It is important that you know that this project starts with the extraction of natural gas and ends with a product that has arrived to the customer. This means methanol plant and the natural gas supplied via pipeline is one project and not two. One cannot be without the other. The required supply for natural gas is presently proposed through the Williams Pipeline. This pipeline is going to be threatening the Mount Pleasant Cemetery property, which is now a recognized Washington State Historic Landmark. It's important we recognize the cultural risk that will be breached if this pipeline has an explosion, and it can destroy the last remaining place that has the resting of many of our important people. My point is this EIS does not take into account the cultural risk and the source of the natural gas. Air quality is my second concern. Because of the local fires we've had this year and the stagnant air, where has that been brought into the air quality standards?
I'm Mike Wallen. I'm a member of the Longview City Council. We've been hearing from many of our residents who are asking that local governments find greater ways to pay for the things we want. Public safety, highly technical, labor-intensive, time-critical public safety, right? Health programs that are affordable and accessible for everyone. We all want greater social programs. We all want greater social services. This project offers clean air with reductions in greenhouse gas emissions. It offers clean water with the zero discharge and conservation. This partnership, I think, highlights China's growing confidence in the people in the state of Washington. I think that bodes well for Washington's future. When you think about the global trade and where we're at in our communities, in our global partnerships for trade, in fact, this is one of the largest foreign direct investments Chinese companies have ever made in the United States. It moves our clean energy future forward in a very rapid pace. Thank you for hearing my comments.
Hello, my name is Alice Shapiro. I'm from Portland, Oregon. I had some written prepared comments, but I think I'm just going to ask people to start thinking out of the coal box and out of the fossil fuel tank. Fossil fuel is a dying industry. There are clean jobs. There is wind. There is solar power. And in addition to the Chinese proposing to open more coal plants, they are also manufacturing the solar panels and the wind turbines that could be manufactured here in the Pacific Northwest. These are clean jobs. These are family wage jobs. These are high-paying jobs. that could be easily brought here and provide what we need without polluting our environment. The methane leakage and the greenhouse gas effects of methane, among many other things, have been underestimated by the studies that have been done. I was also thinking about another project that could be done, both expanded where I live and here in Washington, would be public transit projects, which would take away the need for so much fossil fuel. I look forward to leaders with innovation. I look forward to leaders who are willing to step up to the plate. It's time to stop that insanity now. Thank you.
You're listening to Locust Focus here on KBOO Community Radio in Portland and KBFG LPFM in Seattle. And today we're listening to testimony given at the hearing for the draft Supplemental Environmental Impact Statement for Northwest Innovation Works' proposed methanol refinery in Kalama, Washington.
My name is Cam Keeley, and I am a 17-year-old resident of Kalama, Washington. I, along with many others, have serious concerns about the claims in the DSEIS, and today I'm focusing on the 100-year timeline. Carbon emission estimates in the DSEIS rely on a 100-year average, which actually minimizes the full impact of this refinery. Most of the damage done by fracked methane gas is in the first 20 years. Methane is 86 times stronger of a heat-trapping gas than CO2 over a 20-year period. The DSEIS even states the plan for the methanol refinery to exist for 30 to 40 years, so spreading the GHG emissions over a century is a blatant misrepresentation. We don't have 100 years to decarbonize. How does Northwest Innovation Works and the Port of Kalama spin their truth in their favor by cherry-picking data to put in the DSEIS? One glaring example is using stats from the United Nations IPCC 2007 assessment, but not even referencing the more recent IPCC 2014 assessment or their 2018 special report, which warned we only have 12 years to cap global warming at 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels, beyond which we will experience significantly worsened fires, droughts, floods, extreme heat, and poverty for hundreds of millions of people. The authors state urgent and unprecedented changes are needed to reach this target. Building a massive frack gas refinery obligating us to decades of new fossil fuel infrastructure is the wrong direction to move in for a state that should be a leader in environmental innovation. Instead, we need to promote clean, renewable energies for a sustainable future. Just say no. And if I could add one more thing, it's not only about your unborn grandkids or the salmon in the river. Climate change effects are happening right now. People are dying and getting hurt. Don't subject yourself to being held responsible for this. Thank you.
My name is Cecile Gernez. I am an organizer with the Sierra Club. I'm here today for two reasons. First, I want to live into my golden years. With climate change, I will be unable to do that. Second, I have made many good friends here in Cowlitz County and Clark County, especially in Kalama. And I want them to be able to breathe clean air and be safe from explosions. So let's start with climate change. I'm a young adult, and I want to plan for my future. It's literally impossible for me to do that if I don't even know that this planet will be livable by the time I retire. How am I supposed to plan my life if I can't be certain that the climate will be sustainable for human life? This is a stress that I carry every day. The DSEIS for this project hugely underestimates the climate impacts of it. The study either ignores or downplays multiple comprehensive studies finding significantly higher leakage rates and global warming potentials for methane. The Sierra Club took it into our own hands and surveyed many studies and concluded that a 3% leakage rate represents a national average. We only have 12 years to act on climate. Why then would we use a 100-year global warming potential for methane rather than a 20-year global warming potential? Please force whoever is writing the final supplemental impact statement to incorporate a large survey of the literature for both the global warming potential and the leakage rates of methane. And please have them rationalize which numbers they use. Next, let's talk about the wonderful activists that I have met in Southwest Washington, in Tacoma, and in Seattle. All of these people are people who I love. And they're either in Kalama in the blast zone or along pipeline routes or affected by climate change. Please don't hurt my friends with this project.
My name is Deborah Bancroft, and I live in rural Onalaska, Lewis County, Washington. In my 47 years in the Pacific Northwest, I've witnessed the energy industry's attempts to exploit and profit from our geography and our natural resources before. I am proud to have played a part in the movement that stopped two nuclear power plants from going online in Satsop, Washington. The key to winning widespread local support for our cause was helping citizens understand the financial burden that was being placed on taxpayers. This Kalama project appears to be a similar boondoggle. How does permitting this huge project benefit the citizens of Washington State or our nation's taxpayers? The questions I want you and Governor Inslee to consider are who benefits and who pays. The proposed Kalama plant is not a clean energy innovation. It converts fracked gas into liquid methanol, and both processes, fracking and refining, create environmental pollution. This is not a clean energy solution. NWIW is a profit-seeking venture for the Chinese government and for a New York City private equity firm. If the DOE approves a loan guarantee sought by NWIW, and if the never-before-built-at-this-scale project should fail, then you and I, as taxpayers, could be stuck for up to the estimated project cost of over $2 billion. And how often do large construction projects meet their cost estimates? Didn't happen with the nuclear power plants. Who benefits? Who pays?
My name is Bill Adams, and I'm from Des Moines. If this methanol project goes forward, yes, it will give your area more jobs and more tax revenue, which will certainly help your economy. It has also been argued that since it would be a natural gas-powered methanol refinery, it will help the environment by reducing the need for dirtier coal-powered methanol refineries in China. On the surface, these look good, but they're based on short-term thinking and, to a certain extent, tunnel vision. Recognizing the long-term and the bigger picture, if the project goes forward, two things will happen, and they're not good. One, the refinery's voracious appetite for 320 million cubic feet of natural gas daily, about twice that of all commercial business in our state, means more fossil fuel extraction to satisfy the demand. More extraction is not the answer to combating climate change, according to 97% of the world's climate scientists. They're in full agreement we need less extraction to help us transition to a clean, renewable energy economy. Two, most of the gas used would be forced out of the ground by hydraulic fracturing, also known as fracking. I think you all know that fracking has some very nasty side effects, chief of which is methane leakage, averaging 3% and documented at 3 to 4 times that in Montana, North Dakota, and Utah. It rivals burning coal for retention of greenhouse gas. Those that want this project to move forward are ignoring the obvious. More fossil fuels are not the answer. I'm with 97% of the scientists who say we need less.
Hi, I'm Carrie Parks. I'm a resident of Vancouver, Washington, and a third-generation Washingtonian. You want to bring this methanol plant here for only 200 jobs, but do you really feel okay about trading that for the thousands of jobs that it will cost our natural resource-based economy in Washington? Since money seems to be the only thing that counts with some people, let me talk about money and jobs for a minute. Last summer, we had week after week of thick smoke in Western Washington because of the wildfires in California and BC. The year before that, a terrible wildfire in the Columbia River Gorge that lasted for months destroyed many businesses. They're saying this is the new normal because of climate change. Increasing pollution is increasing the risk of catastrophic fires. We saw a little town in California that was wiped off the map this year. What about those people and their jobs? Do you care about them? 97% of our shellfish farmers are reporting financial damages to their businesses because pollution is causing the ocean to acidify, dissolving the shells of our oysters, clams, and crabs, killing them or making them too small to harvest. Just in the past few weeks, the crab harvest off our coast has been shortened because of this. What about those jobs? Some of those fishermen have had those jobs for several generations. Your methanol plant will make it harder for them to keep their jobs. And what about our regular fishermen? Toxins from harmful algal blooms closed the fisheries along our coast in 2015, and we saw salmon die-offs because of warm water temperatures in the rivers and streams. The declining snowpack has cut our ski season shorter and shorter. Climate change will cut all snow-based recreation by 70%. Our agriculture jobs depend on the snowpack. Governor Inslee and the Department of Ecology should take over this process. Inslee has said we're the first generation to feel the sting of climate change and the last generation to do something about it.
Hi, my name is Justin Sellers, a longtime resident here in Southwest Washington. I live in Ridgefield, Washington, and I'm the president of the Labor's Union of Southwest Washington. The Columbia River Keepers have pushed for an independent life cycle analysis of the methanol plant. The report has been completed and it is out, and the group hasn't come up with any reason to question the findings that have came out. The group seems to have forgotten the Northwest Innovation works at putting zero liquid discharge, so the methanol plant has no discharge into the Columbia River, and they're nowhere of the Northwest Innovation works has committed to offsetting all greenhouse gas emissions linked to the plant within Washington State. I thought climate change was the biggest challenge to the environment, but maybe soberly engineered. Industrial plant that has been shown to really respond to climate change and is a bigger threat to professional environmental organizations.
Hi, I'm Andrew Schaefer. I'm a lifetime resident of Kelso, Washington, proud member of Local 26, Steam Fitters and Plumbers. The Columbia River Keeper pushed for an independent life cycle analysis of the methanol plant. This report has been completed and is out. The group hasn't come up with any reason to question the findings. The group seems to have forgotten that Northwest Innovation Works is putting the zero liquid discharge to the methanol plant and has no discharge into the Columbia River. And are they aware that Northwest Innovation has committed to offsetting all the greenhouse gas emissions linked to the plant within the state of Washington? I thought the climate change was the biggest challenge to the environment, but maybe a superly engineered industrial plant that's been shown to really respond to climate change is a bigger threat to professional environmental organizations. Also, the no action initiative alternative in the draft supplemental EIS is dangerous. All the new reports coming out agree. More greenhouse gases are being released around the world. We have to do something big, and we have to do it now. What kind of person or organization walks away from this opportunity to reduce global greenhouse gas emissions by as much as 14.5 million metric tons per year? Who wouldn't want to end the greenhouse gas emissions of 2.2 million cars? And that figure is just in the state of Washington. They also have to reduce their greenhouse gases every year due to state laws.
My name is Marianne Maldin, M-A-U-L-D-I-N, Portland, Oregon. Failing to answer the question, how much greenhouse gas pollution will this refinery and its pipelines be responsible for? That was the question this SEIS was supposed to answer. In an effort to distract from the real answer to this question, which is millions and millions of tons of pollution, the SEIS focuses instead on speculation about displacing allegedly dirtier forms of energy. And when the SEIS does get around to addressing how much pollution would come from this facility, it completely lowballs the analysis by understanding the amount of methane pollution that comes from fracking, collecting and piping fracked gas, and using it in the refinery. The methane pollution values used in the Life Cycle Associates underlying analysis are basically the same as the Tacoma LNG facility. Table B3 in the appendix appears in both analyses for this instance. In both cases, the company provides unreasonably low rates of methane pollution in gas production and transmission. By using more accurate methane pollution information, the pollution impact of the refinery would balloon by millions of tons each year. The SEIS didn't answer the very basic question asked, how much greenhouse gas pollution will this plant cause? Let me answer it for you. Too much.
My name is Diana Winther. I know there are a lot of folks in the room that discount the environmental benefits of this project because it involves a natural gas. I understand that they are passionate about this issue, but I believe that passion is misguided. Let me explain why by way of an analogy. I work as a labor attorney for a construction union. The construction industry has a history of being a challenging place for women. My union is committed to changing that, as are many other building trades unions. Implementation of these changes has been deliberate and careful and not as fast as some would like. But using this transitional approach doesn't mean that my union doesn't think that this is important. We just knew we couldn't force rapid change if we truly wanted that change to be sustainable. The move to a greener economy also requires a transitional approach, although in this case, it is because we are not in a place where we can eliminate our dependence on plastics entirely. The car you rode here in, the cell phone in your pocket, perhaps the coat you're wearing, manufacturing those involves methanol. The medical equipment over at Peace Health that may be used to save the life of someone you love requires plastic. So if we accept that plastic is not going away overnight, then we have to recognize that the NWIW project is an opportunity to make this necessary product in a way that is cleaner than the way it is produced in China. It can be done here in Washington with stricter controls and requirements than anywhere else in the country. And by saying no, we are saying that environmentally responsible industry is still not good enough to come to Washington. If we say no, we are saying that burning coal to make methanol is acceptable. Saying no to this project doesn't make any one of us use less plastic. It just means that no one in the state gets to benefit from manufacturing that plastic. If you refuse to transition in order to create change, you wait a lot longer for real and lasting change.
My name's Dina Turner. I'm concerned how climate change due to fossil fuel use will affect future generations. I speak today to ask you to consider the future of our children and our grandchildren. That would be your children and mine. Northwest Innovation Works is a fossil fuel company owned primarily by the Chinese government. It proposes to bring Canadian fracked gas to Southwest Washington. The key words here are fossil fuel. The UN International Panel on Climate Change tells us that consequences are dire if we do not take immediate steps to reduce release of our climate-changing gases into the atmosphere. NWIW's refinery in Kalama compounds the already dire situation. It would pollute as much as 1.2 million cars. It would lock in fossil fuel use and climate-changing hydrocarbons for decades. We do not have decades to lower our carbon footprint. The situation must be addressed now. Please say no to a Kalama methanol refinery. Say no to NWIW. Say yes to our children and grandchildren.
You're listening to Locus Focus here on KBOO Community Radio in Portland and KBFG LPFM in Seattle. And today we're listening to testimony given at the hearing for the draft Supplemental Environmental Impact Statement for Northwest Innovation Works' proposed methanol refinery in Kalama, Washington.
As coal plants are shuttered across the United States, our decisions for energy replacement options will affect our climate, our health, and our security for years to come. The fossil fuel industry has long touted gas as a bridge to a carbon-free energy mix, asserting reductions in climate pollution while clean energy technology develops. The truth is that our clean energy future is here now, creating jobs and cutting pollution through solar, wind, and energy efficiency projects. The gas plants we build now will likely be with us for decades to come. We must more rapidly reduce our reliance on fossil fuels, not build a new fossil fuel backbone for our energy grid at a time when clean energy is cheap and plentiful. Climate impacts from fracked gas are one aspect of a larger problem. Concerns about this dirty fuel run much deeper and deserve intense scrutiny. Many of these additional impacts are primary concerns for communities living on the front lines where these impacts occur. They include, but are not limited to, contaminated groundwater from fracking, earthquakes from fracking, explosions due to leaking pipelines and storage facilities, nitrogen oxides and other air pollutants from smokestacks at end-use facilities, upstream emissions of traditional air pollutants, such as smog and soot-forming volatile organic compounds, and air toxins, such as benzene, a known carcinogen.
Good evening. My name is Adam Davison, Kelso, Washington. As a lifelong resident of this community and member of two local construction unions that will be on this project, as well as over 19 years' experience in the petroleum gas pipeline industry, I can assure you that I have as much financial interest as nearly any other local resident to see that this project goes ahead. But outside of money, not one other thing about this project makes sense. I really hope the good people of this community can come together and see through the gaslighting. You see, this is equivalent to my neighbor saying, hey, I need you to dump some of this poison in your drinking well because mine is getting horribly toxic from making all this cheap plastic that we've been enjoying so much. What if we just start using less plastic? I mean, this is ongoing poisoning of our own water, air, and land is only killing ourselves and reminds me of a heroin junkie that feels they're certainly okay as long as they can find another vein in their toe or some other part of their body. We've just passed legislation to begin killing predatory sea lions. The forests are dying at a staggering pace. The elk have hoof rot, the deer have mange, smelt and steelhead runs in the Cowlitz River are nearly non-existent. Salmon runs are a tiny fraction of what they were just 35 years ago. Razor clam digs are usually not allowed due to high levels of toxins. So maybe it will be when we start killing predatory bald eagles, or maybe predatory bears, or perhaps when the very last steelhead makes its way up the Klamath River, or when all of the local rivers are deemed not only unsafe to drink, but unsafe to even swim in. When will you say enough? I've had the good fortune to work with many of the would-be potential construction and possible permanent employees that would be hired by Northwest Innovation Works, and I can tell you that they are some of the hardest working, most dedicated and intelligent men and women I've ever met, so make no mistake, they will find work.
I'm Patricia Weber, Corvallis, Oregon. The methodology used in the life cycle analysis in the DSEIS that addresses climate impacts for upstream fugitive methane emissions for 99% of the fracked gas for the plant is incorrect. There are four basic problems with the analysis. Number one, GH Genius is not appropriate software for modeling large fossil fuel infrastructure projects. This software was developed for manufacturers of biofuels to demonstrate compliance with clean fuel standards. The applicant claims that it has been used successfully in Canada for this type of LCA, but this claim is unsubstantiated. Number two, compressor stations are excluded from leakage numbers. Compressor stations leak methane like sieves. The methane and other GHG emissions from all compressor stations and other transition points need to be included in the LCA. Where there are valves, you will find leaks. Number three, a steep discount for future Canadian federal regulations is applied, which is not applicable. BC receives an exemption from the regulation that allows them to submit their own plan to meet national climate goals. The preliminary plan BC submitted shows methane emission regulations that are much weaker than the prescribed federal ones would be. Number four, the BC provincial government is not a credible source of emissions data. Research by the David Suzuki Foundation at Montney Basin Wellheads shows that BC inventories are vastly underreported. Similar research in Alberta shows the same thing. Earlier this year, the Environmental Defense Fund published a study that shows methane emissions in the U.S. are much higher than the EPA had estimated. In short, every time someone looks closely at fugitive methane, they find that they are higher than government estimates. The onus is on the applicant to provide credible data collected via the types of rigorous methods described in the EDF report. Thank you.
Mark Keeley, a 20-year resident of Klamath. The DSEIS laughably states that the building of the world's largest methanol refinery and export terminal in Klamath would have a net climate benefit. NWIW suggests that building it would be better for the climate than not building it. Life Cycle Associations, a PR firm for big oil and gas, hired to write the GHG analysis, cherry-picked the outlier data to make their case. This refinery would take fracked gas from Canada, transport hundreds of miles to Klamath through 60-plus-year-old pipelines that have a history of leaks and explosions, refining into methanol using a process that's never been used before, load it onto super tankers, and ship it through the Columbia River estuary over to Asia. Every step of this process leaks methane gas. Leakage rates of 3% have as much global warming potential as coal. Recent well-conducted studies find that methane leaks of 1.9 to 17%. NWIW chose to use the industry's self-reported rate of 0.32%. This is simply not reasonable or realistic. NWIW was court-ordered to accurately report all the GHG emissions. How insulting it is to the Republic to produce this bogus document. Don't buy their spin.
Good evening. For the record, I'm Ed Orcutt. I'm state representative in the 20th district. I'm a resident of Kalama. I'm asking for you to support the SEIS and to approve the shoreline permit. I believe that this plant is going to be built somewhere in the world, and I believe that the most environmentally responsible place to build it is right here in the state of Washington. The reason why I say that is we have some of the strictest environmental rules in the world. I've been to some foreign countries, and I've seen what the air quality is there, and it isn't anywhere near as good as the air quality is here. I think it's critically important that any emissions that they do, they've indicated that they are going to mitigate any emissions, and I think that's a very important aspect that they're going to do. The investments they make through that mitigation is something that's going to advance technology for clean energy. And I think that's something that's going to continue to provide benefits for many years to come. So it's time to bring the jobs here. It's time to make sure that this is done in the cleanest way possible. And I think that can only be done right here in the United States, and this Kalama plant is the place to do it.
Good evening. My name is Therese Lavella. I am a farmer from La Center, Washington. As Kent Caputo pointed out in his OPB interview yesterday, NWIW is, quote, from a business perspective, betting. Betting that there will be more demand for their products, namely plastics and fuel, in the years to come. On this point, he may be correct. Since I have been alive on this planet, our human population has grown from 3.84 billion to 7.7 billion, and it shows no sign of stopping. More mouths mean more need. When Caputo goes on to say that we agree we should move away from fossil fuels, but that we should do it over time, what he really means to say is that from the business perspective, there is no money in recycling. From the business perspective, the choice is not do the right thing or do the wrong thing. From the business perspective, the choice is to do one of two wrong things, coal or gas. The time for that way of thinking is over. Caputo and the DSEIS make assumptions that because of methanol, China would be inclined to close coal-fired plants. The DSEIS provides no guarantee of this. From a business perspective, that would be a very bad bet. According to the United Nations IPCC report released this year, we have just 12 years to reverse our greenhouse gas emissions. To think that we can do this while bringing new fossil fuel projects online is false logic. One of the main mitigation methods cited in the DSEIS is to use carbon credits as an offset. We do not need more offsets. We need actual reductions. Thanks to the new farm bill, hemp is about to be made legal again. Let's court an industry that can actually make a difference in our world rather than just betting that they will help anyone but themselves. Deny this project and explore a new and innovative industry that will supply the region with thousands of jobs, truly cleaner fuel, medicines, and friendlier plastics.
Hello, my name's Paul Thiers. I'm a professor at Washington State University, Vancouver. I'm trained as a political scientist, and my primary research area is China. I've published on Chinese energy policy and climate change policy. In response to a community member's request, I've read the drafts of the DSEIS and the supplemental GHG analysis. Obviously, there's a lot of problems with these documents. The one thing I want to speak to is regard to the Chinese market for this product. The claim of neutral or net reduction in greenhouse gas emissions relies on this idea that the methanol will be used to feed the chemical industry. In fact, if the price of oil is higher than $80 to $100 a barrel, that may be the case. But when oil drops below $80 a barrel, naphtha cracking, the traditional method for making olefins in China, is the cheapest and preferred method. Since we're just over $50 a barrel now, I think there's almost no chance that any of this product will be used to offset coal. We have research to back that up if you'd like, and I'll be submitting that in written comments. Appendix F of the supplemental GHG analysis is entitled Energy Prices, but it's telling that that entire appendix never mentions oil prices. If the price of oil is taken into account, it's very clear that this product is going to end up being used as transportation fuel, which will change the GHG analysis completely. And I think that the DSEIS needs to be redone for that reason.
I'm Don Steinke from Vancouver. 44 years ago, the nuclear industry rolled into the Northwest proposing 20 nuclear power plants. The building trades backed them up. They supported those plants and rushed us into one of America's largest boondoggles. Together, they told us we would shiver in the dark if we didn't have all those nuclear power plants. They told us they sorely needed jobs. That's what they always say, regardless of the impacts. We wasted $5 billion on those plants before we pulled the plug. Our pension funds paid for that mistake. Then Trojan was closed because it was not safe. Who paid for that boondoggle? Who is still paying for it? In all these cases, the building trades got paid. Advocating for large energy projects and making us pay for it is what they do in exchange for our project labor agreement. I'm getting tired of it. Congress recognized that local decision makers can be blinded by wishful thinking, and thus they created the Northwest Power and Conservation Council to serve as a watchdog over the local decision makers. In the meantime, our economy surged, we became more efficient, and we didn't shiver in the dark like they said we would. This project will be another boondoggle, and our pension plans may suffer the consequences. You need to start over with the environmental impact study. Your economic analysis based on the price of oil being over $100 a barrel rather than where it is now. I ask the Port of Kalama and Cowlitz County to recuse themselves from this decision-making in this case because you have a conflict of interest. Start over. Ask the Department of Ecology to be the lead agency. Get it right.
You're listening to Locus Focus here on KBOO Community Radio in Portland and KBFG LPFM in Seattle. And today we're listening to testimony given at the hearing for the draft Supplemental Environmental Impact Statement for Northwest Innovation Works' proposed methanol refinery in Kalama, Washington.
Hi, my name is Chris Turner. This draft is imaginary, unrealistic, and unprofessional. Cowlitz County and the Shoreline Board should require that this draft be thrown in the trash, not revised. First, they do not calculate the emissions and leakages from the pipeline, storage facilities, methanol used as fuel, compare realistic vessel tanker transportation to alternative destinations, or up to 650 non-shore power vessels using the laborers each year. Northwest has used unrealistic figures for emissions that they do calculate. Second, they say Northwest Innovation will voluntarily mitigate all GHG emissions from Washington State, including those outside our facility. Yes, they actually said every industry's emissions, falsely mentioning multiple times to purchase credits and contribute to a mitigation fund. Today, Washington State does not have a carbon exchange, nor do we have a mitigation fund.
Good evening. As a member of the Cowlitz County Board of Commissioners, I congratulate the applicant for its life cycle analysis of greenhouse gas emissions and for its commitment to mitigate fully 100% of the in-state emissions of their project. And I'm looking forward to learning the details for accomplishing this noble goal. And I've got a few ideas on how that might work locally. In a world filled with significant trade-offs, where the good is not the enemy of the perfect, I believe the analysis that global GHG emissions will see a significant decrease based on a decrease in coal to methanol production in Asia of approximately 12 million metric tons a year. That is a bargain when compared to the proposal's emissions in Washington State of approximately 2 million metric tons a year. Anyone who truly believes in the goals of the Paris Climate Accords has to recognize that this proposal is an important step forward in building a cleaner future for the entire Pacific Rim with such a significant trade-off, because it allows China to continue its path toward greater prosperity as it attempts to match the United States in achieving a higher standard of living for more of its people. The more draconian alternative, that is the no-action alternative, actually condemns the Chinese people to continue to breathe toxic air or forces a tragic decline back into third nation poverty. The opponents come dangerously close to supporting a rather racist attitude if they believe that. If they believe we have our riches and wealthy standard of living, you don't get yours. It must sound that way to our Asian friends.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Claudia Wiedner. Many times tonight, we have heard that besides money, the main reason for this project is so that Chinese can turn off coal-fired plants. Indeed, in 2015, President Xi made such promises and said China would wean itself off coal. Yet, in September of this year, in September of 2018, the BBC and The Guardian did analysis of satellite images of China. And what they found is that China had been building hundreds of new coal fired plants, and they have taken plants that were offline back online. So the appetite in China for coal is growing. It's not only growing in their own home country. Indeed, from reports from the National Geographic from last year, we learned that China is financing and building hundreds of new coal-fired plants in Africa. Many people in Africa are on the streets and they're demonstrating against this. They don't want this dirty energy in Africa either, yet they have no power to stand up and they're being exploited. So don't believe it when they tell you they will take off coal-fired plants. It is not true. The people in Dalian, China, would be recipients of this methanol if it's not being used for fuel but as a feedstock as promised. The people in Dalian have been in the streets by the tens of thousands. And you know why? Because the plastic factories in China are polluting the air so badly that the people in Dalian cannot breathe. Do we want to further that? Do we want to be the plastic spigot to the world and pollute the air here and pollute it over there as well?
My name is Bradley Thompson. I'm a registered nurse and a volunteer member of 350 Tacoma. I'm an advocate for public health and the environment. I'm also an advocate for justice, prosperity, and the economic well-being of frontline communities like Kalama. Two major climate reports were released recently, both with dire warnings. If we don't make rapid and drastic changes to almost every aspect of our society, then we face catastrophic, destabilizing consequences that are irreversible within human time spans. And just how long do we have to accomplish that? Well, according to the world's leading climate scientists, we've got less than 12 years to cut our dependence on fossil fuels in half, and less than 30 years to end that dependence altogether. So let's see, what have we been discussing here tonight? That's right, a new 50-year fossil fuel infrastructure project that would dramatically ratchet up our state's dependence on fracked fossil gas, which leaks polluting methane all the way along the supply chain. Methane, which is 86 times more potent as a global warming accelerant than carbon dioxide. So I can tell you what prosperity doesn't look like. It doesn't look like massive stranded fossil fuel assets that leave communities in the lurch. It doesn't look like communities that are hitching their economic futures to dying fossil fuel industry. It doesn't look like selling off our abundant natural resources, our clean water and clean electricity, so that foreign countries can make cheap disposable plastics that poison our environment. That's not prosperity, that's madness. And as people and as a state, we must do better. I'm calling on Governor Inslee and Washington Department of Ecology to deny this project. Thank you.
I'm Dan Sears. I'm the Conservation Director with Columbia Riverkeeper. Just a couple notes I wanted to make about the supplemental EIS. The first is that the current tariff situation doesn't appear to be included in the SEIS, although it relies on this big market analysis to try to claim some carbon benefit. The second big omission continues to be the lack of addressing new pipelines, which would be necessary to feed this facility. We don't buy that you can send 300 million cubic feet of gas to Kalama and another 300 million to Oregon for a second methanol refinery without building a large new supply pipeline. And that involves eminent domain to send gas as methanol to China. I don't think this is what people imagined when they contemplated eminent domain, using it to condemn land for overseas shipments of fossil fuel. The SEIS was supposed to answer a pretty simple question, which is how much greenhouse gas pollution would this project create? And as someone noted earlier, it basically failed to answer that question directly. It tried to dance around the issue and create a straw man of potential offset, speculative other fuels overseas. When you take a straightforward look at what this project would do, it would create millions and millions of tons of greenhouse gas pollution. If, as the previous speaker said, you use a more accurate methane leakage rate, it actually creates millions of tons more greenhouse gas pollution than they admit in this analysis. So the SEIS underestimates both the amount and the potency of methane, a powerful greenhouse gas that would be associated with this facility due to increased fracking and the entire process. Thank you.
Today, we've been listening to testimony given at the hearing for the draft Supplemental Environmental Impact Statement for Northwest Innovation Works' proposed methanol refinery in Kalama, Washington. You can still submit comments on the draft SEIS until Friday, December 28th at 5 p.m. We have more information on the Locus Focus website about how to submit your comments. You've been listening to Locust Focus here on KBOO Community Radio in Portland and KBFG LPFM in Seattle. If you're just tuning in and you'd like to hear what you missed or you want your friends or family to hear this show, you can listen to it online or download the audio later this afternoon on our website, kboo.fm/locust-focus. Next week, we'll talk with Timothy Inglesby with Firefighters United for Safety, Ethics, and Ecology about sensible and scientific suggestions for how the Forest Service should deal with the increasing ferocity and frequency of wildfires. My engineer is Patsy Kohlberg. I'm Barbara Bernstein. We'll go out with some music by Anna Fritz. Thanks for listening.
Coal, oil, gas, none of these shall pass. Leave it in the ground, turn the ships around. Coal, oil, gas, none of these shall pass. Leave it in the ground, turn the ships around. Keep it going. Cascadia is a place of great power. We stand at the mouth of the river, rooted to the land and its people. We turn the ships around. Cascadia is a place of great power. We stand at the mouth of the river, rooted to the land and its people. We turn the ships around. Coal, oil, gas, none of these shall pass. Leave it in the ground, turn the ships around. We are a people. We are a people awakening. We are a people reclaiming. We are a people demanding. Turn the ships around. We are a people awakening. We are a people reclaiming. We are a people demanding. Turn the ships around. Coal, oil, gas, none of these shall pass. Leave it in the ground and turn the ships around.